Hey, want to get the most out of your hair? You got to see the folks at Hair Club. Go to hairclub.com/hoops today to schedule your free 60-minute 10-point hair health checkup. That's hairclub.com/hoops.
College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we'll be joined by new UNLV head coach TJ Otzelberger. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Now that we're all set with all your Geico needs, my three big headlines from the weekend are being brought to you by Body Armor. With natural flavors and sweeteners and no colors from artificial sources, Body Armor is bringing superior hydration to the next generation of student athletes.
John's big three thoughts from the weekend.
I'm going to give you three.
Thought number one in terms of headlines, this quartet of Elite Eight games was the best that I've seen in my lifetime. Virginia, Texas Tech, and Auburn all going to the Final Four for the first time under their respective head coaches, Tony Bennett, Chris Beard, and Bruce Pearl, and Michigan State going back under Tom Izzo. Per CBS research on Sunday night, this was the closest margin of victory in Elite Eight history, and the games did not disappoint. Texas Tech dominant, in my opinion, against Michigan, and then really there was never a point in the second half where it felt like Texas Tech wasn't going to advance and beat Gonzaga. Auburn with an emotional victory over Kentucky. Think about this for a second with those two coaches. Chris Beard at Texas Tech, Bruce Pearl at Auburn. 6 years ago in 2013, neither was a part of Division I basketball. Virginia's victory against Purdue was one of the great Elite Eight games that we've seen in quite some time. The final play of regulation before Mamadi Diakite made the game-tying basket with no time left on the clock to send the game into overtime, to me, was a byproduct of the headiness of Kihei Clark. Now, Kihei Clark is not the first person that people are going to talk about when you talk about Virginia's roster, but to have the presence of mind not to throw up a full-court heave or a half-court heave to try and win the game is attributed to him, to Tony Bennett, the Virginia assistant. To have that poise as a freshman was remarkable. I feel for Matt Painter. I feel for Gene Katie. I feel for Carson Edwards, who was sensational, and I also feel for all Purdue fans, but Virginia on to the Final Four for the first time under Tony Bennett. And what can you say about Michigan State? Michigan State lost Josh Langford, its starting shooting guard this season. Michigan State lost Kyle Arns, the backup to Josh Langford at shooting guard this season. But Michigan State is finding a way to go back to the Final Four under Tom Izzo. And Tom Izzo's face when the final buzzer went off and Michigan State beat Duke, to me, was one of the great sights that we have seen in a long time in the NCAA tournament. In tears of joy, heading back, trying to give Michigan State its first national championship since 2000, trying to do the same thing for the Big Ten. Now, my second takeaway from the weekend, my second headline, is experience is again trumping youth in college basketball, and this is what I'm talking about right now. When you think, obviously, about teams that have won national championships the past couple years, teams have won with older players. Now, a lot of people this week are going to make the argument that the 2012 Kentucky team and the 2015 Duke team were made fully of one-and-done type talents. That's not accurate, because in 2012, Kentucky won a national championship with three players, Deron Lamb, Terrence Jones, and Darius Miller, who were all part of a Final Four team the year before. Deron Lamb was Kentucky's leading scorer in the 2012 national championship game against Kansas. And in 2015, Duke had Quinn Cook, Amil Jefferson, and Matt Jones. Matt Jones tied for the lead in scoring when Duke beat Gonzaga in the 2015 Elite Eight. And in two separate conversations I had since 2015 with Mike Krzyzewski and Jeff Capel, who is now the head coach at Pitt, who was a top assistant on that Duke team in 2015, they both said that Quinn Cook was not the best player on Duke's team in 2015, but he was the most important player. Experience, again, trumping youth in college basketball. And look, this is something that Duke just has to own right now. And I think sometimes we get a little carried away because Duke was on the doorstep of the Final Four for 2 years in a row right now. But in the last 3 years in Duke's program, there's been Jason Tatum, Harry Giles, Frank Jackson, Luke Kennard, Grayson Allen, Trayvon Duval, Gary Trent Jr., Marvin Bagley, Wendell Carter, Trey Jones, Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett, Zion Williamson, and Duke has not went to a single Final Four. My third headline from the weekend, Bruce Pearl has made himself an immortal of the state of Alabama. And one thing I never thought I would tweet, one thing I never thought I would write, one thing I never thought I would say is that Auburn beat Kentucky in the Elite Eight without a healthy Chuma Okeke. And Chuma Okeke was the best player on the floor when Auburn beat North Carolina in the Sweet 16 before tearing his ACL. He had 20 points and 11 rebounds. Alabama is a football state. Alabama is known in college athletics because of Nick Saban. But Bruce Pearl, regardless of what happens this week in Minnesota, has made himself an immortal in the state of Alabama because Auburn's going to play in the Final Four for the first time ever. And Auburn beat Kentucky and John Calipari in a regional final without its best player. One program that used to go to Final Fours and did almost 30 years ago with regularity was UNLV. And the new head coach of the Running Rebels, T.J. Otzelberger, is our guest this week, and he's being brought to you by my favorite sports drink, Body Armor, the official sports drink of the NCAA and March Madness. Body Armor has been hydrating all the student-athletes throughout the NCAA tournament, providing superior hydration. With natural flavors and sweeteners and no colors from artificial sources, Body Armor is the more natural, better sports drink. So stock up on Body Armor at a retailer near you. UNLV made major waves in the coaching carousel by plucking T.J. Otzelberger from South Dakota State. And the head coach makes his inaugural appearance on the College Hoops Today podcast right now with John Rothstein. T.J., my first question, it's only been a couple of days, is a little weird to be introduced as the head coach of UNLV.
Well, I'll tell you, it's an exciting time. It's an unbelievable opportunity. There's not many positions where truly they've won a national championship. They have things in place to do that. So really excited to get going, excited to get my family here and get grounded, but it's been a fun journey these first few days.
Well, UNLV basketball 30 years ago was synonymous with this time of year because they were always playing in Final Fours. They were always competing with national championships. How far back does T.J. Otzelberger go with UNLV? What are your thoughts when you think of the Rebels program when you were in your formative years?
You know, it's funny because I had a UNLV Running Rebel parka when I was a 7th and 8th grader and definitely followed the teams. It had a lot of impact on me. I enjoyed watching how hard those teams played. They're exciting, they're fun, up-tempo style of play. And so I'm pretty confident that living here right now, I'm not going to need a parka at any time soon, so I'm fortunate with that. But definitely has a resounding impact on me at a point in my life where I was discovering my love for this game and my passion to stay in it eventually as a coach.
I'm always interested to find out how coaching processes work. When did you first get the call about UNLV? What were your initial thoughts when you thought about potentially being a candidate?
Well, I'll tell you this. It's the process. You know, Desiree, she'd have to be the one to share with you that. But what I can tell you is when I had a first conversation with her, her energy, her passion, her enthusiasm, it really hit a chord with me. And to think about, I've been fortunate to work with some great leaders as coaches and administrators, and to have somebody that had the vision that she had, the passion, the enthusiasm. I remember that first phone call, and she had me hooked on where this could be headed and how we could work together.
UNLV head coach T.J. Otzelberger joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, South Dakota State was your previous place of employment, and it's a little bit smaller than the bright lights of Las Vegas and obviously the setting that UNLV plays in. What are your thoughts about coaching now in a fishbowl versus coaching in the confines of South Dakota State and Summit League?
At the end of it, it's, you know, it's still basketball. It's still helping develop young people. It's still challenging yourself, challenging the players in your program to be at their best. So at the core, we're all teachers in this. We're in this to help young people reach their dreams and goals. You know, at the same time, I know that we're at a higher level. We're at a place where we can compete, you know, at the top of the Mountain West Conference, where we can compete nationally. And so that's an exciting opportunity. I realize that's the big part of it. And I'm a competitor. I mean, I want to roll up my sleeves here and give it a whirl. So we're excited to get going and embrace those expectations.
And expectations is something you definitely had at South Dakota State. You had one of the more aesthetically pleasing styles of play in mid-major basketball. You shot a lot of threes. You obviously had a five-man who could step out and make shots. What do you anticipate T.J. Otzelberger's style of play being now in the Mountain West at UNLV?
Yeah, it's going to be a style of play that's exciting in the open court. Offensively, we're going to be predicated by spacing, the pace that we play at, guys that have skill levels where we can dribble, pass, shoot, make plays for each other. We have great ball movement. Very unselfish style of play. On the defensive side of things, we're going to be highly competitive, aggressive, team that's on the floor for 50-50 balls and gets after you that way. And so try the best we can to piece that together, find the right guys that want to play in that style, and continue building, because I think we've got some really good players here on our roster right now that fit us, and then try to, hopefully as time moves forward, add a couple pieces that fit in that equation as well.
You mentioned, obviously, playing in the open floor offensively and playing with great spacing. You know, you learn from two of the great offensive coaches that we have in our game, and Greg McDermott, who was at Iowa State, and then Fred Hoiberg, who succeeded him while he was at Iowa State. What are the biggest things, you know, you took from both of those guys, both on the floor and off the floor, as you evolved into a head coach?
Well, to your point, I've been fortunate to have a lot of really good mentors, guys that are great coaches, great teachers, and great people. I mean, and you mentioned it with McDermott and with Hoiberg. I also had with Coach Romar and Coach Prohm, guys like that as well that really helped me and helped me develop and prepare me for this opportunity. You know, specifically with McDermott, obviously you've seen at Creighton teams that are, you know, offensively very gifted embody some of those qualities that you and I just discussed and how we're going to play here. With Coach Hoiberg, he's certainly an innovator, understands mismatch basketball as well as anybody, and learned some of those things from him. So those guys have had a heavy influence on me and how we put things together. I think the teams that we had at South Dakota State in a short period of time also, you know, displayed some of those qualities, and we're hopeful that we can take that to the next level here based on the level of player, athlete, and you know, the completeness of skill level of the guys we're able to recruit here.
UNLV head coach T.J. Otzelberger joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. There is a stigma out there that a lot of coaches get time off, you know, once the season ends, and that is definitely not the case if you are taking over a new program. There's been a number of UNLV players who have, you know, explored potential transfers since the prior regime under Marvin Menzies was, you know, moved along. What is the current state of your roster right now in terms of people who may be in or out in terms of UNLV moving forward?
Yeah, that's a daily process we're sorting through. Best thing I can do is just invest time in those guys and have, you know, the relationships continue to grow and develop. Those take time. There's quite a few players on this roster that, you know, there was a deep-seated relationship with a member of the coaching staff or the head coach is a big part of why guys came here. And so I've got to work to earn their trust over time each and every day. At this point, it's still very fluid. There's been a lot of guys that have, you know, put their name in the transfer portal, and it's my job to re-recruit those guys and work at it. You know, right now, it's, I wish I could give you names and say, hey, here's the ones that are coming, here's the ones that might be going, but that's still very fluid, and we're working through it. But I'm confident here in the coming days, things will start to stabilize, and guys will reaffirm that they're recommitted to the program. We're just not there quite yet.
And this transfer portal thing is completely different because, you know, in years past, it used to be that the school sends out a release and a player, you know, is going to opt to transfer. Now it's almost like speed dating where things can change every minute. Is this new dynamic something that's going to be an evolving thing for coaches to get accustomed to?
I think it is. I mean, I think it's definitely an adjustment. For all of us, change is not necessarily a bad thing, even though at times we're averse to it. At the same time, the student-athlete certainly is in a position right now where they have the ability to explore options and have different opportunities. I think for all of us, it's our job to kind of adapt and adjust to the way that things are. And so that's something that's happened through the time I've been in college coaching. There's been changes, and this will be something as well that we'll adapt to and adjust. So really just trying to keep an open mind, work hard, and understand that that's all part of it.
And regardless of who stays or goes, you're going to need to build a roster and, obviously build the program. And to do that, you're going to have an excellent staff. What is T.J. Otzelberger's first staff at UNLV going to look like?
Well, it's going to be a blend of guys that, number one, from a characteristic standpoint, they're going to be great character guys, great workers, and people are passionate about developing student athletes. On the recruiting side, and as we move forward that way, need to have guys that have some connections, locally and in this region. Need to have some guys with diversity and experience and age that, have done this. Would like to have some guys with MBA experience or MBA ties, because I think mm-hmm. we want to recruit guys that want to play at the highest level. And so I think the chemistry of the staff is so important. So we'll continue to evaluate those people. The staff chemistry is really important to me, because I think as a team, if you're going to stress the team ideals, that I think your staff has to embody those as well. And so we're just going to take our time, make sure we get the right people on the bus, and start to move forward.
Well, hiring a staff is something that's not new to you. You did that when you got the job at South Dakota State. But something that's completely different that you never had to do before was say goodbye to a place and say goodbye to a team. What was that like for you to kind of part ways with everybody at South Dakota State? I know you're excited about this job, but you never had to do that before as a head coach.
Yeah, it's really difficult. Those guys mean the world to me. I'm going to be the biggest Jackrabbit fan. And for me, and first endeavor as a head coach, they embraced me. They put their trust in me. We had very little turnover. And hopefully those guys felt like we were able to do some special things and have an elite experience there. So really hard. Felt like, especially our seniors this year, those guys were my first recruiting class. Because we had 3 years together, won a lot of games, but more than that, built lifelong relationships. And so challenging, numbing, even when we talk about it now, I get a little choked up because those guys mean the world to me. And so really, really tough, but, we'll always be loyal, grateful, and, passionate Jackrabbit fans as we move forward.
Well, you mentioned that that's tough. Another thing that's tough for any mid-major coach is coaching in a one-bid league. How exciting was it for you, not just obviously to pursue the UNLV position, but to go to a place where it's a multi-bid league?
Yeah, no, it's an exciting opportunity. I mean, this year, like you mentioned, there's with Nevada, UNR, I should say, and Utah State, we had two teams that were fortunate to go. Throughout history, there's been years where the Mountain West has produced more teams than that. I think for us, we can control what we can, and our responsibility is to get good and get good in a hurry, and that'll help also elevate the level of the league, because I think when the league has been at its best, certainly UNLV has been one of the flagship programs, if not the flagship program. So we need to do our part, but it is exciting to have those opportunities. It's definitely impactful with how we schedule and how we go about piecing things together, because you want to put yourself in position now where, again, if you're not fortunate enough to win that conference tournament, that you've scheduled aggressively and put yourself in a spot where you're in position for an at-large bid as well.
Well, that brings me to my next question, because the UNLV that I think everybody's been, synonymous with, or, college basketball's been synonymous with over the last 30 years, has involved playing the best programs in the country, because UNLV is a brand that can command that type of a national schedule. Is that your plan moving forward, to be aggressive and to play the type of non-conference schedule where you're playing in big non-conference games every November, December?
Absolutely. I think for anywhere, if you're going to raise the bar, you've got to play against the best. You've got to challenge yourself. You can't be afraid to lose games. because in the end, I think if you got character and work ethic and your guys learn and grow from those experiences, those are temporary setbacks on the climb forward. And so I think if you look at any of the programs that are, you know, outside the Power Five conferences that have been able to establish themselves as teams that way, I mean, Gonzaga obviously is one that really stands out. They've scheduled aggressively in the non-league, and I think that's something that we need to do. Can't be worried about the wins and losses, have to be worried about the growth and how you move forward. And I also think those games help a lot in recruiting because young people want to play you know, the biggest games on the biggest stage, and that's what we have an opportunity here to do.
Your league, the Mountain West, is a league that has been built recently on transfers. Eric Musselman has done it in Nevada. Even, you know, Lon Kruger his last years, and then it's the Dave Rice's first year at UNLV. We have seen players shine, like Mike Moser, you know, before he went to Oregon, who started his career at UCLA as a transfer. Is that a method potentially that you could look into in order to maybe get older and more talented out of the gate at UNLV?
Yeah, I think for us, we're going to explore all options to, you know, to add to our roster. Like I said, I want to make sure the guys on my roster right now know that they're number one and trying to build around them and then kind of determine what pieces we need. So as much as, you know, you get one of these opportunities and the transition is going fast, you want to look on the outside. I'm really focused on the guys that we have here. So right now, till we stabilize that and know who's staying, you know, our focus is with them. But to your point, you know, there's a lot of ways out there to look at talent or bring talent in, whether it's graduate transfers, you know, junior college, immediate, you know, transfers that sit out, or high school guys. And so I think the lifeblood of any program is going to be bringing in four-year guys that you develop over time, yet you want to make sure you have that blend of experience on your roster so that you're not in a position where, you know, you feel like you're at a competitive disadvantage because of the age and experience in your program.
Final thing, TJ, I know you've got a lot of work to do with your roster between now and the start of fall practice, but what are the biggest things that you want to accomplish and get cemented in your first year, regardless of personnel?
I think number one, we want to establish how we're going to do things here. We're going to do things the right way. We're going to work really hard. We're going to try to expand as much as we can in terms of work capacity. I'm a up early, you know, stay up late type of guy. And for me, this is about family and this is about our team. And anything that doesn't fall in either one of those two buckets is not of much interest. And so I want to establish that type of culture, that this is going to be a family atmosphere, family environment. We're going to work incredibly hard, and then we're going to challenge ourselves, you know, to get outside our comfort zone and really do some special things. And I think if I can set the tone that way as a leader in the first year, that will help us build our brand and reputation outside of our, you know, outside of our program, and hopefully on a national level. And that'll get the ball rolling for us moving forward.
Well, TJ, I appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Congratulations on all your success. When I first met you, you were a Big 12 assistant. Now you've moved on, obviously, to one of the prime brands in college basketball. Best of luck in spring recruiting and filling out your staff, and look forward to staying connected along the way.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, John. Appreciate it.
Your confidence is important, and sometimes one change can make all the difference. Hair Club knows this, and they're inviting you to become part of the Hair Club family to see how getting the most out of your hair can change your life. They understand the emotions you're feeling and know the questions you have. Hair Club is the leader in total hair solutions with a legacy of success for over 40 years. Whether you're looking to revitalize the growth of your own hair or to learn more about the latest proven methods for hair replacement or restoration, Hair Club's professionally trained stylists, hair health experts and consultants will craft a personalized solution to ensure you feel your best and get the most out of your hair. See for yourself just how powerful great hair can be. And look, guys, if you can notice your hair thinning, so can everyone else. So do something about it. I have friends who have tried Hair Club and they love it. Here's what you have to do. Go to hairclub.com/hoops today for a free hair health and scalp analysis for new customers and enjoy a $250 savings on anything Hair Club service after your initial consultation. That's hairclub.com/hoops for a free hair health and scalp analysis and enjoy a $250 savings on any qualifying offer Hair Club service after your initial consultation. Hairclub.com/hoops. Experience your hair and your life at its best. Only at Hair Club. I'm certain you'll love the club. We'd like to thank UNLV head coach TJ Otzelberger for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them right now. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question is, John, should Carson Edwards stay for his senior year at Purdue? Look, Carson Edwards had one of the great performances that we've seen in the NCAA tournament offensively. Carson Edwards statistically in this NCAA tournament, okay, was better than Steph Curry was in the 2008 NCAA tournament for Davidson. He went through the NBA draft process last year. I would be surprised if he returns to Purdue next season. And our next question is going to come from Tyler Romero, and it's John. With VCU pretty much returning their entire roster, do you think they will make a run in next year's NCAA tournament? VCU, and I'm going to release my top 25 for next season next week on the College Hoops Today podcast, to me, is a top 25 team entering next season. Marcus Evans back, Marcus Santos Silva back. I like the Rams big time, and they will be heavy favorites heading into the Atlantic 10 in 1920. And a reminder of the College Hoops Today podcast being brought to you by Body Armor.
It's March, and that means March Madness is here. Busted brackets, buzzer beaters, and upsets are coming. As the new official sports drink of NCAA March Madness, Body Armor is here to hydrate the next generation of elite student athletes. With natural flavors and sweeteners and potassium-packed electrolytes, Body Armor is the more natural, better sports drink. Thanks, Gatorade. We'll take it from here. You can find Body Armor sports drink at 7-Eleven.
And Five Good Nuggets is sponsored by our friends at Hair Club. Go to hairclub.com/hoops to schedule your free 60-minute, 10-point hair health checkup.
Five Good Nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, the life lessons. Tony Bennett and Virginia are a great life example of how tough situations can be the incubators of great turnarounds. Cavaliers were in purgatory 12 months ago. Now they're in heaven, back to the Final Four for the first time since 1984. Nugget number two, the power of retention. Tariq Owens is a prime example of why player retention is such a critical part of college basketball. He left St. John's as a grad transfer 12 months ago. Today he's a starter on a Texas Tech team that will play in the Final Four. He was huge down the stretch against Gonzaga in the Elite Eight, 9-7 and 5 block shots. Nugget number three, Beard's rise. Chris Beard has been a Division I head coach for 4 years. His NCAA tournament record is 8-2. Guy could take his and beat yours, or take yours and beat his. Nugget number four, close calls. I'm going back to the margin of victory in this year's Elite Eight, the closest in NCAA tournament history. Nugget number five, wounded Tigers. Auburn beating Kentucky in the Elite Eight without Chuma Okeke. I said it before earlier in the podcast. It's something I never thought I would write, something I never thought I would tweet, something I never thought I would say. This is back-to-back years right now for Kentucky losing in the NCAA tournament to a team that was without a key piece. Last year, Kansas State didn't have Dean Wade. This year, Auburn didn't have Chuma Okeke. Now let's get the games to watch brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save 15% on car insurance.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
What games are there to watch? There's only three left. The Final Four. I've got Texas Tech falling to Michigan State, and I've got Virginia over Auburn. I've got Virginia beating Michigan State in the national championship game. I'd like to thank UNLV head coach TJ Otzelberger for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.